This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy, as we always do every week.
It's a special time. We
sit here and produce some Christ Together Radio.
We do, and sometimes it's really good radio.
Sometimes it's not. Like, we're not starting real well today, but we're going to hopefully get there. Don't leave. We've got a
Actually,
we have a great show. You've got to stick around. We have Dan Crane from Atlanta joining us in studio today, and I was so blessed last week. I'm learning. It's kind of the whole theme of what we're talking today. I'm learning from just sitting with guys like Dan and Andre Clark.
Yeah.
I keep going back to that. That to me, that was just so important and so foundational to people understanding what it looks like to have the gospel lived out in context that they don't necessarily. We talked earlier in the break before the show. We were talking about how the church in general has not quite, it's not been on the church's radar until recent years, and why? We don't know why.
Well, I think in the Northeast, what we're starting to realize is I think every week Barna comes out with a new study that bashes how post-Christian we are in Buffalo. Yeah. I think what that does, and I'm not anti those studies coming out, I'm just tired of being on the list, right? ministry in the Northeast, what it does is there's no pretense here. We need one another. And once you start to walk down the street relationally with people and understand whatever God's going to do throughout the world, he's going to do through all of his people, you start to realize that, if we want to see every man, woman, and child reached with the gospel in Western New York, that means all parts of Western New York. And if you're not walking in relationship with people that are not in context that you're not familiar with, it's impossible to accomplish what you sense God is leading you to do. And so I think what happens is you begin to realize and to discover, I need to reposition how I look at relationships that don't look like me. Mm-hmm. And Andre, you mentioned Andre, and we've had a host of folks who have influenced us. Charlie Mitchell, Derek Parks, Jordan Rice, brothers and sisters of color who are doing great work of the ministry, either locally or regionally or nationally. And the reality is you start to walk in a relationship with them, you start to realize we all follow Jesus.
Yeah.
But our paradigms that led us to Christ and our life experiences, they're different. And so how do we begin to minister to a broken world, the truth of the gospel, taking it to every single nook and cranny in an area? And I think that what you realize is in a place like Buffalo is you desperately need all of the churches that operate within an Orthodox Christian paradigm. Luzon covenant overarching. Jesus is real. The Bible is authoritative. Jesus is the only way. The Trinity is mysterious, but we honor it. The Great Commission is still alive today. That's what I'm talking about when we talk about church partnership. But the reality is God has placed his church in different parts of the city, different parts of the region. And until we start bumping into each other and actually doing life together, it's hard to understand that.
It really is. Yeah. That's why it's so important that we have guys like Dan Crane on. And Dan joins us today from Dignity Serves, and dignityserves.org is your website. Mm-hmm. And also, what was the other one? Remerge.org is the other website if you want to learn more about Dan. He was joined us last week. If you want to catch up on that episode, go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs, and go to Christ Together. It's a good listen to this episode, and then go back and listen to the previous one with Dan. And I think you can
hear about Bumpville.
If you have ever wondered about Bumpville, PA, and what the crazy stuff that happens there, there is a basketball court that sounds pretty awesome.
Crane Dome.
The Crane Dome.
Create a joke that said all roads lead to Bumpville.
They have a farm. Dan grew up on a farm, and they have a hay silo or a hay.
That's in the top of a barn. It's a hay mill, right?
Yeah.
So we renovated it to make it into a basketball
wood
court.
Wood floor, probably.
Wood floor, plywood floor, of course. And
I saw some videos last night of, getting it on in the Crane Dome. Basketball.
I could show you some videos of the basketball
that happened in the Crane Dome.
Happened in the Crane Dome last week.
That's awesome.
First game in 9 years.
That's nuts.
Hey, that's Good to know. Hey, we're going to talk a little bit more about what Dan's doing down in Atlanta with Dignity Serves. And you're not going to want to miss this, because I think if you've grown up kind of in a suburban area, whether it's Toronto, Buffalo, or anywhere else, you kind of have some ideas about how things are. And those are going to get challenged a little bit in a good way. And I think we're going to ask some questions that Dan can hopefully help us with. And I don't know. Just stick around.
Join us.
Don't leave us.
Get that second cup of coffee.
That's right. You heard the opening.
Oh, I love the opening.
Yeah. Get a second cup, because you've already had one by 9
a.m. If you had a second, get a third.
All right. Christ Together Radio, 9 a.m. every Saturday and noon on Sundays. Also online at WDCXradio.com. Check us out and stick around. We got a great show for you.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy. Every week, it doesn't change. We're here. Ryan's giving guns. As if he's the power. He's the powerhouse.
You get your tickets.
Not
the
real
gun
guns.
Show.
I tickets just to the gun show as a joke.
And I'm just totally distracted here. Right now. No, I'm just kidding. Dan Crane joining us in studio today from Dignity Serves Ministries. And he last week on Christ Together Radio, he gave us kind of a background of where he's from in Bumpville, PA, and how he, you know, took a road of going. It's almost like he went south, 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 then way north, then back south.
Yes.
So took a unique road to get to where he is today. But it's funny how God uses circumstances, including ministry burnout and other things in our lives, to shape us for what he has, for the ministry he has for us long term.
Yeah.
And it's cool how the verse, the Bible, it says, you know, when it says God works all things together for good, it's interesting that our trials and our difficult times, he turns them around, doesn't cause them, but turns them around into things that benefit the ministry and benefit the gospel ultimately. So Dan Crane joins us in studio today. And Ryan, a great week last week getting a foundation for what Dan does. And I think this week it'll help us a lot get some practical advice and steps that we can take as not just church leaders, but also people, just everyday Christians, to get involved in what something like Dignity Serves does.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing that would be good for this week is, one, just let's start with just talking about, if you're, let's say you're hearing this and you're a church leader and you're going, hey, I'm interested in this. What do I actually do? Mm-hmm. And then also I want to speak to, like, what if you're just a part, just everyday follower of Jesus and this resonates with you? Like, where do I go? How do I get information? How do I understand this better? But in order to bring, you know, to tie in from last week, Dan, there are six sessions that are a part of Dignity Serves. Could you do us all a favor and just go through each one of those very briefly? And then from there, I'll kind of jump in and shape the rest of the segment for what we'd like to accomplish.
So once again, Dignity Serves is written with this attempt to move from service projects to long-term development work based upon this concept called dignified interdependence. And the first introduction we get into the rereading the parable of the Good Samaritan, and really trying to understand what Jesus is saying, like, you are actually the one laying in the ditch. You're the one that need help. And so kind of understanding this question of what has you half dead. Lesson one deals with the image of God. Everyone bears dignity, right? And lesson two deals with the realization of assets, the fact that everyone has something to give. So when you come into a community or serving, just don't focus on what you have to give. What does everyone have to offer here? Lesson three deals with the relevance of place, this idea that God calls us to be present in one place, listening and discovering what God is up to. Lesson four deals with the power of structures, the fact of dealing with institutional racism and talking about how place matters, right? Where we live frames our reality. And lesson five deals with the impact of commitment, that this is God's story, this is God's world, right? He's made a commitment to redeem all things, and we wrestle through this idea that God's commitment precedes our own. Mm-hmm. Lesson six is the people are more important than change, right? If people, if you love them, and especially love those on the margins, a lot of that, sometimes they don't change. Well, are we still going to love? Well, of course, because God loves us. Hmm. And so it's a discipleship curriculum really on helping the church to serve well.
Right. Hmm. So I'm listening to the show right now, and I'm a pastor of a church in the region, and I'm going, man, This sounds really interesting to me. One of the things is that sometimes you can be, you know, the information can overwhelm people. Yeah. Like, oh, geez, that's probably for someone else. That's probably for another church that's better prepared to take this on than where my yeah. church is at. But if I'm listening today and I'm just a pastor of you know, of an average church in Western New York, help me understand how I can how do I connect with this idea?
Yeah.
And where would you start? Where would you actually help someone to begin the process of starting this?
Yeah, you can visit our website remerge.org, remerg.org. You can visit the Dignity Serves website, dignityserves.org. And I mean, the big this sounds so simple. Big thing is just sit and rest in Christ and pray and realize this is his mission and begin to educate yourself, right? Go to CCDA.org, Christian Community Development Association, and start to go on YouTube and search John Perkins, right? You can pull up all sorts of resources around that. And just you go to Amazon, type in, you know, Dignity Serves and type in books like When Helping Hurts, and just it's one of those things in the Matrix, right? You want to do the red pill or the blue pill? Mm-hmm. How much do you want to go down this rabbit hole? There's never-ending resources. Obviously, connect with people like me. Email me, dan@remerge.org. I love to take people on this journey because I've been on this journey for 10 years now, and I love just kind of – that's what God has called me to. God hasn't called me to run a ministry, and in many ways I stink at it. But he's called me to walk with people and to disciple people through dignified interdependent relationships and point people to those resources. And so I'm on Facebook. My last name is Crane, C-R-A-I-N, so Dan Crane. And I have my own website and my own blog that – you know, you can read it if you want. But, yeah, there's all sorts of ways to engage and, you know, connect with Ryan Cozy, you know, and at the chapel. I mean, we're about sharing resources. We're about educating the church and really to learn what it means to serve well, yeah. right, to be a neighbor. And I mean, one of my favorite stories that I share is, you know, what is Jesus' interaction with the Samaritan woman in John 4? What's the first thing he does? He sits down, mm-hmm. right? And then he asks her what? Can you give me a drink, yeah. right? That's the core message that we share to churches when you learn to serve. Like, what would it look like if you came in and you just sat down and you started asking for help, yeah. right? Yeah. Like, yeah. you didn't do anything except you just began to learn and get to know, reach out to people that look different than you, right? Start visiting restaurants that you're in the minority, right? Start going to different places of the city just to get to know people. Do mm-hmm. what Ryan, you said when you, I asked you, how did you get involved? You're like, well, I started driving around, you know, East Buffalo and mm-hmm. praying. And yeah. this is God's story, right? I'm a white farm boy from Bumpville, PA, and I live in the black mecca of the U.S. Well, there was a part of my life where I educated myself. And
yeah.
I was mentored by black professors and pastors and asking all sorts of questions and not doing in a way, like, you know, of course we can get into cross-cultural and racial relationships. Like, mm-hmm. you don't do it because, oh, that person's black and I want to yeah. get to know my token black friend. No, it's like, no, I genuinely want to hear a different perspective, and I see the image of God in that person yeah. and a perspective. And I like, now he's a good, they're good friends, yeah. like, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
You know what's interesting is just to pick up on something you were saying, like, you know, when you asked me, you know, how did I get interested in all this? And it did start with driving,
yeah.
but you mentioned something about just kind of the intentional economics part of it. Like, start going to restaurants that yeah. that you're in the minority.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I can remember the first time I walked into Maddie's on Fillmore.
Mm-hmm.
Fillmore is in East Buffalo. A lot, you know, it's predominantly black neighborhood, and it's kind of a reputable place, a famous restaurant for within the African community. I would mm-hmm. say Gigi's and Maddie's are kind of two of the pretty influential restaurants. Unfortunately, Gigi's had a fire, and I don't mm-hmm. know if they're going to reopen or not. But it's crazy that over time, I remember walking in for the first time and just feeling like anxious and like, mm-hmm. man, what are people going to think or whatever. But you know, in time, you just start building relationships with people.
It's familiarity,
and, yeah. but, you know, Greg, who was one of the cooks at yeah. Maddie's, he came mm-hmm. out and just shared his story with me, being from North Carolina, and,
yeah.
you know, talked about how Maddie trained him to take over, you know, kind of cook the way that she cooked. And you, all of a sudden, the things that once gave you anxiety They were really bathed in uncertainty.
Yeah.
What are people going to think? What might happen? What could, and then all of a sudden you just start, this becomes a part of who you are.
And
the anxiety goes away and you start listening and engaging at a completely different level. It's the craziest thing.
I've got a good buddy that does ministry in Philly. His name is Chris Lair, and he talks a lot about, he has actually a talk that we could put up from CCDA on what can white people do about racism. And we were talking about this topic. He's like, white people are just tired, right? They're tired of being blamed about racism. We need to learn a different language. We need to learn different procedures. And what we're talking about is go build relationships, right?
Yeah,
go
right,
build
right,
cross-cultural right. racial relationships, because when you have those, it changes things, right? Yeah. Like, we've, you know, I
yeah, it's
talk
one thing
about,
to say, stop being racist or stop being this or stop looking at this, but hey, go make some friends and you're going to see it different.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I 4 years ago, I was preaching an all-white church in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and I knew I was going to talk about race, and I'm like, God, how do I do this, right? And he gave me an illustration. The illustration was like, listen, let's keep politics out of this. I have no liberal agenda. I have no conservative agenda. I'm bipartisan, right? And Jesus is doesn't care about politics, but well, he does. But and I said, listen, if my wife comes to me, right, and says, honey, I'm feeling some sort of way, right? Mm-hmm. Counseling 101 says, you never say to her, I never say to her, like, no, that's not what you're thinking and feeling. I don't ever try to rationalize, right?
Mm-hmm.
Emotional health, right, says, no, you listen, right? You listen to what she's saying. And that's this thing about our black brothers and sisters in Christ, right? You can't look at Charleston, South Carolina and what happened, right, by a guy that was ruled by white supremacy, right, and feel the pain of our black brothers and sisters. Like, right? They're feeling something, right? We people that have the honor of being in relationship with people of color, like, you see things differently. Why? Because you see how institutional racism plays out, right, in these different capacities. You, and again, I have a lot of friends, not again, but I have a lot of friends that are police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Every police officer I've ever talked to will agree that there's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. That there's, you know, and just you begin to see things from a different perspective. And it's, again, this is not a liberal, I have no liberal agenda in this. Mm-hmm. Like, none of us do. But just once you begin to understand that our black brothers and sisters are suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at why are they suffering? Well, look at the history of our country, right? 270 years of slavery, 90 years of Jim Crow laws, like how many years of racial segregation? 1968, right? They finally signed the Fair Housing Act, right? Mm-hmm. Where you couldn't redline anymore. Well, what's redlining? Well, Google it and you'll find, like, literally people of color couldn't get loans to live in certain parts of the city. And that's 1968. That's less than 50 years ago. And so you just, and that's part of my experience to bring it home back to Bumpville. I knew all of my friends of color were from the inner city. I didn't know why, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the privilege that I grew up in. And, of course, this is not to say white people in the rural aren't struggling, because they are.
There's certain poor.
There's a lot of poverty, but there's also a lot of other issues going on as well. But just to see the amazing blessing that and white privilege is a thing. Like, and again, I'm a Christian pastor. In fact, the nickname the guys have come up with me for the past few years is Pastor 100, right? Mm-hmm. I keep it real, but I love the 100 slang. It means slang for 100, you keep it real, right? And so, and I love the guys, and they love me. And we live in a dignified, interdependent relationship. And so I see things from their narrative. And so it just, once you share life and you join lives. And as far as getting back to where do I go, another great resource that Andy Old, the guy, director of Remerge, wrote a really great book called Joining Lives, a primer on reconciliation. You can go on Amazon and buy that. It's a bunch of different people contributed to what it means to live out reconciliation. Another great resource is a guy named Howard Thurman, who mentored Martin Luther King Jr., wrote a book called Jesus and the Disinherited. That was a book that 10 years ago I read it, and I'm like, holy cow, people of color read the Bible differently than I do, right?
Yeah.
When Jesus says in Luke 4 that I've come to proclaim good news to the poor, they read that and be like, yes, that's what this means, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and then white people, well, didn't Jesus say that the poor will always be with us, so we don't need to do anything? Like,
right,
no, let's wrestle through that.
Yeah,
right?
That
doesn't work. That doesn't
and play. If you have no relationships, it's hard to do any of
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're coming to the end of our segment here. We're going to pick this up in our next segment here. So we're going to continue the conversation. You're listening to Christ Together Radio, Brett Larson. Ryan Cozy. I like that guy. Yeah. That's me. And our good friend Dan Crane, who's from Remerge, Atlanta, Georgia, talking about Dignity Serves. Come back this next segment, and we're going to keep the conversation rolling.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard, or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy, Dan Crane, joining us in studio today from Dignity Serves in Atlanta. You've just heard from him. If you listened last week, you heard from him. And then if you were listening earlier, you got some practical advice and some ways to kind of resource yourself to understand what it is to work with people with this idea of interdependence and dignity and getting to know those who are different than you. And beginning to allow God to work on your heart, because that's where action takes place. Is when God works in your heart and you develop relationships, and you begin to just get uncomfortable a little bit, really. Yeah. And that's what happens. But it is a hard road, Ryan. And as I know you've even experienced, and we kind of all there is a I hate to say an institution, but there's a cultural norm and just a daily life that we in suburbia, for lack of a better way of putting it, we just kind of live out every day, and we have these assumptions, and we watch the news, and we look at it through our own pre-understandings, and they're not always right, number one, and number two, they're very difficult to overcome unless we get involved.
Yeah, and so you know what I think about? I go back to an earlier show that we did within Christ Together, and I don't know if you remember when we first had Vincent and Andre Clark in. Mm-hmm. Vincent, said something, and he had said it to me before off air, but he said it on air, and I was like, man, that's just so true. Which was that the challenging thing about these types of conversations is that there are people. Mm-hmm. In our region, mm-hmm. that if they don't want to be a part of the conversation, they can choose to not be a part of it.
Their life's not affected.
Yeah. Because their life isn't affected by it. And he said, Ryan, that's one of the hardest things. Mm-hmm. Like when you talk about interdependence of relationships, when you talk about greater body partnership, when you talk about the full saturation of the gospel and the full mobilization of all of God's people, a person like me, as he said, a person of color, it's hard to come to the table needing this conversation. Mm. I need this conversation.
Yeah.
But it's hard to be at the table with someone who just doesn't necessarily have to punch in to the conversation if they don't want to.
Yeah.
He said, but the gospel should compel us to. He said, that's the great news of Jesus, is the gospel should compel us to this. And, Dan, in this last episode, this last segment, you gave some great materials to consider. And one of the things that I just wanted to talk with you about in this segment, Brett and I both, was, I can only imagine that there's times where you present this idea to a church and there's pushback.
Yeah.
Like, well, so help us understand, this is an important, I would argue it's a vital conversation to the full saturation of a gospel in a region. What sort of pushback do you get? And how do you handle it? What does that look like?
You get a lot of pushback. Because a lot of churches, they want control, right? And they want power. And they don't realize it. And especially working with a lot of mega churches, they want to give, they don't want to receive, right? And they want to write their own content, and they want to be like, this is what we're doing for the city. And then you have an outside organization, or a curriculum like Dignity Serves, and it just is like, well, what is this? And so there's a lot of pushback around that, because the real nature of reconciliation and joining your lives with those on the margins, it's really hard, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of churches aren't set up for the hard things. They can do service projects. They can give out coats. They can come in and paint a wall, right? But the heart of Remerge is calling the church to live out reconciliation with those on the margins. And that is really, really hard, because it means either you have to move in, or you begin to show up week after week after week for years, right? And mm-hmm. and then you'll see a difference. But then it's because it's hard. And a lot of churches have adopted the attractional model of church, right? Mm-hmm. For good, and it works, right? You get people in the door, but then this is the next really hard step. And so I'm putting thoughts to this and trying to write a blog around what does that even look like for a mega church, right, to really engage with those on the margins in a healthy way, in a dignified, interdependent way. It's really, really difficult.
Even more, how does it look for in every mega churches are kind of an anomaly, especially where we live.
Mm-hmm.
How does it look for a church of 220 people that's trying to make their bills and can't think outside of next week trying to make their missions report or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you got to invest in the community. You got to go down there. Well, they're like, we can't, man. Like we're barely just making it ourselves.
Yeah. Have you seen an experience, Dan? We brought up mega churches and I think we're, familiar in this room. Like I are one, I work with one, for one. And I would argue, I'm really excited about what God is doing as he begin to awaken to our church to this. And some of that is, I believe a big part of that is he has increased the diversity of our church dramatically in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, dramatically. But have you noticed a difference between interacting with smaller churches and larger churches? And it's still in a suburban context, but and what's different about
Very much so. I mean, I love churches on all scales and levels, but we find a lot of traction within some of these smaller churches because they can be more flexible and more organic, and they're not don't feel the pressure to have a huge budget and a lot of staff and a lot of the times we do work with churches between 100 to 300 people, and in many ways the pastor, right, if he can catch the vision of what we're about, and if the pastor can catch a vision, and there was actually a church in Orlando, Florida, St. Luke's United Methodist Church, a huge mega church that was about 5,000 people, their whole staff went through Dignity Serves. And so their whole staff was on board with this idea of investing long-term in one community with the asset-based concept. So everyone got that. So it wasn't this, what are you doing over there? Everybody understood it, right? Everybody was reading these resources because the pastor were bought in. And so to me, size is irrelevant. If the pastor can provide vision, right? If the pastor can show what this is what we're about, and we want to live out reconciliation with those on the margins, and a resource, then other resources that we put out there, like it works, right? And
right.
And it's pretty powerful once it works.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. This is Ryan Cozy with Brett Larson, and in studio today is Dan Crane, part of Dignity Serves and Remerge, dignityserves.org, remerge.org. He's doing ministry. God has called him to South Atlanta. Dan, we talked about, the process of working with other churches. What is, when you're working, with larger churches, smaller churches, and then you go back in the evening and you put your head down in a community that is on the margins, if you will. How do you navigate that? I've heard within the conversation before. I've talked within CCDA, and there are some within CCDA that are big advocates.
You talk about the CCDA,
Christian Community Development Association. Sorry, I mentioned it earlier in the show, but the 3 R's that they talk about. They talk about relocation, reconciliation, and redistribution. But one of those R's that really happens is relocation. It's almost to the point where it's almost louder than the other two R's.
Yeah.
You have relocated. How do you deal with, I've lived life in rural Bumpville. I've worked in suburban churches, large and small. Now I'm living in South Atlanta. How do you navigate all of this when your head hits the pillow at night?
I love it. as far as navigating it, this is what God's called us to. I love the diversity, right? And our neighborhood has definitely gotten a lot better because there's a lot of community development work going on in doing with the housing and all sorts of other elements going on in the neighborhood. But I think it's when I share my story and with people and they're like, wait, you moved where? And why would you do that? Right? And this is the critique on American Christianity, is you always move towards comfort and control. But the gospel calls us what? To always move
outside of ourselves, right, to give our lives. And so again, the John 1:14 text, the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, right? It's like such a phrases our heart, right, to be with people that look different than us. And I just, you know, I'm not really there to solve or fix. I'm there to join my life, right? Mm-hmm. And through joining lives, like, I had no idea that Malcolm and I would start this thing that we, our brotherhood that we call Thurkiode University, and it's basically just a small group of guys that we meet every week and play basketball and just kick it, right? I didn't know. I didn't have an idea that I was going to start that, right? But you just kind of go and you build relationships, and whatever bubbles up, right?
Yeah.
And so,
you know, it's interesting because we're talking in this segment about just what sort of pushback you get. Like the first one that you mentioned was just control.
Yeah.
Right. I would imagine that some of the other pushback that you get is like, well, how, like, define success for me?
Yeah.
Right. So you just talk about weekly gathering, small group of guys playing basketball, doing life together. I can hear. You know, I've been in ministry long enough to hear people go, but that's not work. That's not ministry.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that the definition of success comes in as one of these aspects of pushback. Is that true? And if so, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I'm not a big one. I'm not trying to sell what we do in the neighborhood. It's just kind of, for me, it frames. I love the guys and love sharing, but we don't run an amazing program. But I. One of the core reasons I do it is to live out reconciliation so that, you know, what I'm teaching, I live, right? And so, yeah, I mean, that's the struggle, is that when we work with churches and we talk about these terms, they want success, right? They want to measure things.
Everybody wants to measure something.
And this is really, really hard to measure. So one thing that we measure, when I worked for Polis and we were at this trailer park in downtown Orlando, huge place of distress, the thing we started measuring was how much time we were spending with the residents, right? That's what we measured, right? And how much were the residents beginning to trust us, right? And beginning to open up and talk about their ideas. Like, you can measure that stuff. And, like, you measure stuff. It's just, what do you measure, right? Do you measure effectiveness and what you get done? Or do you measure what you do with people? And, like, this is really the model of Jesus. It's not rocket science. It's what he did with his disciples. He spent time with them. And, like, we live in such a busy culture that, you know, when you interact with somebody that's homeless or somebody that's on the margins, like, it takes time, right, to live out those relationships.
And just being from a church context, do you struggle with even if it's not coming from the outside, maybe the internal pressure of getting a decision for Christ from somebody?
You walk in relationship
with them, but do you feel like, well, I'm in ministry, I've got to get them to commit to what I want, to the gospel?
That's a succession.
That's a lengthy discussion.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times, like with my friend Larry, who is homeless, like, he knows Jesus. And there's this assumption that just because you're poor and you're on the margins, that you don't know Jesus, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the times people know Jesus just in much different ways. And this isn't to say that people don't need to be invited into the story, right?
Yeah.
It's just how you go about doing that.
Right.
And about a year ago, it finally made sense. I was had this time with a couple of my brothers from the neighborhood, and something was going on. I think one of them was actually on the verge of being homeless. And we all gathered in a circle, and we prayed, and I led everyone in a prayer of confession in needing of Christ, right? And I confessed my own need for Christ. And I'm like, maybe this is what the gospel looks like among those on the margins. It wasn't me telling you that you need to get saved, right? It wasn't me with the power, right? And I have the answer as a white man. And you, like, we're all lost. We all need forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And this is where dignified interdependence flushes its way out, right? Like, and a lot of the guys, they pray for me and they bless me. And especially this past, what I've gone through with my mom, it's been amazing. These young men that have come to my aid.
Yeah, your mom passed away a month and a half ago.
Yeah, and a half ago. And so just to feel loved by some of the most surprising guys that literally 2 years ago was beating someone to death. And then he's like, how's your mom doing? I'm like, what? So I just, you know.
That's intense.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to Christ Together Radio. That's Dan Crane from Dignity Serves down in South Atlanta. And Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy joining you in studio as always. Dan, after we come back from this break, I want to dig a little deeper into that final thing of, like, where does this culminate? Where does this end up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's the final wind for your lifelong ministry as you grow old and kind of look back and go, hey, man, that was a cool ride. What does that look like? So we're going to get to that right after this on Christ Together Radio.
This is Christ Together Radio. a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together. I hope you're enjoying our conversation with Dan Crane as much as I am and learning as much as I feel like I am today listening to Dan. And if you want to know more and you want to catch up and you're wondering what you missed because you're just joining us, go to WDCXradio.com. Go to Programs and click on Christ Together Radio. Trust me, this conversation is worth listening to. It's worth listening to us if we're a little boring at times or whatever. Listen through it because
suck it up.
Yeah, suck it up and listen through it. It's worth it. We may not have the best delivery in the world. I don't know, but the content is worth it. So you need to listen to Dan Crane's episodes and all of our programs on Christ Together Radio right on the website. They all list who we've spoken to, which I really appreciate because even going back through them myself and kind of getting refreshed and, wow, that was really cool to hear what that guy's doing, it helps identify them. So listen to the Dan Crane programs, 1 and 2, that are on the website. Brett Larson here, Ryan Cozy, co-hosting every week here on Christ Together Radio, 9 a.m. Sundays, 9 a.m. Saturdays, 12 noon on Sundays, and join us every week. Actually recorded to live. We're not here live in studio on Sunday. Ryan's has to be at church
that's
on
right.
Sunday.
Like a good Christian boy.
So, or he'd lose his job, so that's not good.
It's not good.
No. So, but they're recorded and aired within the week. So this is a very recent recording if you're just tuning us in online. If you're interested in more about Dan Crane's ministry, go to dignityserves.org or remerge.org, and you can get more information there. And is your blog accessed through those sites as well? Or
yes, somewhat. Love Neighbor as Yourself. That's really the blog.
And love so Neighbor as Yourself.
Love Neighbor as Self. And, yeah, you just look me up on Facebook, and it's there. And
it's there.
Yeah, I haven't posted in a while, to be honest with you.
Now you're
going
to have
what's going on, I will absolutely have to. And,
But yeah. It's interesting because you can kind of get a story of what's going on. Before we went to the break, Dan, we were discussing kind of what's the end win in your involvement with the urban marginalized and those who might look have different skin color than you and look different. Like the gospel obviously is the win. That's why you do what you do is because the gospel does matter. The gospel is the glue that holds reconciliation. We get that. But I think I asked you the question at the end of your life, when you look back and you say, man, that was worth it all. Yeah. What does that look like to
you? Yeah. Before I answer that question, a couple, like I forgot to Remerge. We actually have a blog called Reconciliation Thinking. And that's on our website as well. And I just want to be clear, like I'm a part of a team of reconcilers in Atlanta. It's not just me doing this. And there are a whole lot of team. And a lot of our good friends that live in the community, Larry, Michelle Witherspoon, and obviously my wife as well, Adrienne. And they've got some really good stuff. Larry's especially got some good stuff to look into. He's running a thing called the Automotive Training Center. If you're familiar with what recidivism is, it's the progress of people going to jail, get back out, and they continue the process, right? Well, Larry started Automotive Training Center to really address that recidivism issue. So you can really look into that. It's based in Atlanta. So anyway, I just want to be clear that, you know, it's not just about me. I'm a part of a team. But to answer your question, what is a win? Like, what are we really after? I have to, like, you obviously, I live in Atlanta, so I'm going to quote Martin Luther King Jr., right? It's the formation of the beloved community, right? And so what does that even mean? Well, honestly, you know, thinking of my mom passing away, 400 people showed up at her memorial service, right? Mm-hmm. This woman lived such a compelling, and in many ways, a friend of my mom's on Sunday night said, Jesus just oozed out of her life. And so at my funeral, at my memorial service, like I would love it if just all sorts of people from different backgrounds and different cultures were there and sharing life together, right? Mm-hmm. And just seeing the beauty and the joy of just, you know, of what Christ intends the new humanity to be. Jesus prayed this in John 17. My prayer is that they what? That they may be one as the Father and I are one. And so, and even says to his disciples, I give you a new command, right? Love one another. And so for us, a win is go and join your life with people that are different than you, right? And share in a Bible study, share in a prayer meeting, share in, if it means joining a church that you're the minority, well, go and do that. It may be hard. You have to give up power and control, but just, I mean, I think this is what excites me about the church planning movement, right? And you have to do it well and think through it really well. But the hope, I believe, is you know, the church that we carry the gospel. The hope is not community development. The whole, and as much as I love community development, a lot of times community development, and this is something Ryan and I joke about that, you know, maybe a 501 level, but a lot of times community development doesn't breed reconciliation. And what I mean by that is you can put people in homes and you can do all sorts of beautiful things, but if you're not providing spaces for reconciliation, right, whether it's a block party or whatever, it's a party, right, a space for people to join their lives, this is where the church really comes into play, because we hold the keys to the gospel, right? And this idea of repentance of sins and what Paul is saying in Ephesians 2, the new humanity of, we have to repent of our selfishness and be joining our lives with people that look different than us. And so, yeah, I think, you know, for the white churches in the suburbs to realize the beauty of joining your life with black churches in the inner cities, right? And not just going down to serve, right? Let's not go down just to serve. Let's create spaces where we can actually be together, right? That may be a block party. That may be a whole lunch gathering, but like, where we get a chance to sit with people. And that part of what Remerge we do is we provide places of reconciliation. So on any given day, you can go and you can play chess with a homeless dude from Atlanta, right? And and actually one of our friends now that works, she's actually from Bus-Stuy, right? Just south of Jamestown. And last year she interned and then she came on staff, and she's like, so much reconciliation can happen when you play chess with somebody that's homeless. Like, that's exactly what she said. I'm like, that's beautiful, right? Because you know, we talk about service projects and all these things, but like, let's just create places just to be together. Right?
I'd have to play checkers, but
checkers, that's fine. You know, yeah. We're from Liberty; we don't understand chess.
Oh man, or maybe we're just so advanced, simplified.
I don't know about that.
We've heard a lot of information and a lot of what Dan's doing. Now let's bring it to our local context. Yeah. You're heavily involved and more so in growing in this area in our local community. What is that? How does that practically play out? I mean, what are some tangible ministries to get involved in? What are some things that we can do? Because I think, let me just give a quick background of why I asked that question, is sometimes the spirit is willing, but the possibility is weak.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, people are going, I want to do this. I want to do this. And they're, where do I go?
Yeah. So this is a phenomenal question. Yeah. And I want to, for those of you listening in this area, in this region, here's what I would want for you to understand. You don't have to wait for a ministry to emerge to do this. That you can actually, there's nothing stopping you today from saying to yourself, I need to be in context. I need to be in relationships with people that don't look like me. They're not from the same sort of life experience as me. So do some of those ministries exist? Yeah, and there, in many ways, like, I could list a few, and I will. But the reality is, there's so many more that are out there that are doing great work. I'll throw out Harvest House. You know, take a look at Harvest House. Take a look at Jericho Road. Take a look at 716 Ministries. Ask your pastor what partner churches that you've been praying for from the pulpit that are in different contexts, and just show up there one Sunday. Ask if you can, you know, participate in that. Niagara Gospel Rescue Mission, the Cornerstone Manor. There are so many things that organizationally and ministry-wise you can get engaged with. But I would just even challenge you above and beyond that. But do you walk in relationship with people that don't look like you, are not the same class as you, are not the same background as you? Do you have a relationship with someone defines that?
Yeah.
Because what I have found is, and I've served, like, I remember probably one of the great eye openers for me was I was a part of an after school tutoring program called the Excel Leadership Center. Renovation Church ran it. It was probably 4 or 5 years they ran it. I think I was a volunteer there for 4 years. Went every week faithfully that I was in town, wasn't traveling, brought my daughter the last couple of years so that she could be in relationship with the kids there. It was a phenomenal program, phenomenal organization. But you know, the reality was, it's not here anymore. And so it's you know, it did great work, and I was very excited about it. But it, what it did to me was it reminded me, like, just because this program doesn't exist doesn't mean that I'm stopped.
Yeah.
Or that I can't do anything formally. But, you know, where do you have a meal?
Yeah.
Where do you get your groceries?
Yeah.
Where do you get your car fixed? Where do you take walks?
Yeah.
Where do you find yourself in situations that just almost unconsciously you just go there because
yeah.
it's where you go? If God, ask God to begin to awaken in you before you have a meal there, might you consider someplace else? Because in that situation, you become, in many ways, if you, especially if you're generous, you become like a twofold blessing. Economically, you bless a business that perhaps is in a different part of town that you're not connected to. But then the twofold blessing of that is you have this opportunity to begin to walk in relationship yeah. with people. For me, it started with driving through the East Side. There was no program that told me to go do that. There was no ministry that told me to go do that. It was the Spirit of God led me. I had intimacy with God, which we talk about on our show. Yep. I had intimacy with God, and it seemed like the Spirit was leading me to do this. Mm-hmm. And from that, oh my gosh, the relationships that have come from that. Now, I actually think that there are great ministries here, and if you want to plug into those that I just mentioned, and I'm sorry for those that I missed because there's mm-hmm. a ton of others, you can plug into those ministries, but here's what I would say. If you don't have intimacy with God,
amen.
Man, I don't think you're going to get a lot out of any of this.
You
if you are not walking with the Father and listening to Him, I feel like what you're going to do is you're going to walk away and go, yeah, well, that ministry didn't really help me with that.
Yeah.
And are there times where ministries, you know, drop the ball? Yeah, there are, but so do local churches. So if you don't have intimacy with God,
yeah.
it's going to be hard for you to understand and discern what yeah. the Spirit's asking you to do.
You're going
to
burn out, and you're going to walk in with all sorts of expectations and get frustrated. Yeah. And so,
real problem.
On a very practical level, Dignity Service is an 8-hour study. We can do it in one day. And reach out to me, Dan, at remerge.org, and we can talk about costs because there's a cost to it. But it's 8 hours, and we do it in one day or over the course of 2 days or however it works for you. And it's a phenomenal training. It changed my life 7 years ago, and I love sharing it. It's a deeply yeah. personal training for me.
Now, this is for churches to call you.
Yeah. Churches call or email or check out our
churches
website.
Call
or, yeah.
Can an individual go through the course?
We need a minimum of about 12 people.
12, okay. Yeah. That's what I was wondering.
And then we train people that go through. We train them as facilitators for them to do it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of churches yeah. in Atlanta that have adopted this and yeah. do it on a regular basis. And the outcomes are different for every church.
Yeah.
One church, they've talked about race because of Dignity Serves. Well, I mean, not solely because of it. Another yeah. church, they've used it to frame their language for how they serve and what they do at a thing called the Collective. Another church is really young and trying to figure out what it means to be a presence in the city. And so every church, it means different things for different people.
Can a church go through it as like a part of a equipping program or
absolutely.
Something?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what it is.
So, yeah. so rather than, you know, the Bible study that takes you deeper, there's some value, absolutely, but it kind of teaches you more about the Bible.
Yeah.
Let's start doing the Bible.
Yeah, yeah. In many ways, yeah. yeah. And that's why I love it's based on Philippians, because yeah. it uses Philippians as a backdrop, because yeah. it's solidly focused on mm-hmm. the gospel, but based upon giving and receiving.
And how many weeks long is it if a church would do it?
6 weeks.
So it's 6 weeks. Yeah. So it's 6 weeks out of your church's life, and you can perhaps reshape it and even add this biblical tool to your belt. I mean, it's necessary.
Yeah.
If we're going to say we really care about the gospel to all nations, you know, every man, woman, child is a biblical Great Commission concept. If we really care about it, hey, you send money overseas to your mission programs because, you know, we're supposed to reach all nations. Well, they're sitting right here.
Yeah.
People who are different than you, look different than you, and you need to care about them. So just, you know, add it to your curriculum if you want to do that. And you can do that through going to dignityserves.org. And getting more information.
Dan@remerge.org.
And Dan@remerge.org is the email address. Make sure you do that. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. We're out of time today. Unfortunately, we hope you join us next week. Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy. Have a great week. Thanks for joining us on Christ Together Radio right here on WDCX.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.